Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all here this morning. What a beautiful fall day, huh? Yesterday being the first day of fall. And I guess it came in just about right, didn't it? Yeah, we got rid of the heat and got a little cool weather. And how great it is to see this group back here this morning, right? Let's give them a hand. Kind of miss that choir when they're not here. We got a lot of things here this morning. We will start out with the prayers and concerns. Of course, Bob, we want to continue to keep you on our prayer list. And you're in my prayers every single night, Ma. Tell you that. And I hope on everybody else's here, too. We've got a prayer request for Krebs Yosia, which is a friend of Jenny Bizet's. Continued prayers for George Allen, Kathy Bader's uncle, had to remove toes because of diabetes. And I guess we will move on to the announcements. We've got a deal here that's been going on for quite some time now. It's a Global Week of Student Prayer. And here at our schools, my note says, we'll see you at the poll this Wednesday, September 26th. Students, parents, community, meet at school, flagpole to prayer at the flagpole. And this is going to be held at 7:30 at the elementary school and 7:45 at the high school. So if you could make it, that would be very good. Now, we have some other announcements here. Please mark November 2nd on your calendar, as that is the evening of our annual Turkey Fall Harvest Dinner. We are in need of and would accept any donations to the cause, especially buttercup squash. If you would like to help us out, see Russ or contact the church office. Pie list will be out soon. The United Methodist Women and the United Methodist Men have begun the process of replacing the chairs in Wesley Hall. If you or anyone you know would like to purchase any of the old ones for $2 apiece, please contact the church office or Bobby Froner. The new chairs have been funded by projects sponsored by the United Methodist Men and Women and are not in any way funded by the general budget. And thank you to everyone who helped and donated to the garage sale this past week. The women made about $950. Very good, and thanks to all you people that worked hard for that. This will be used to buy more chairs for Wesley Hall. And that's what I have this morning. Now, let's move on to birthdays. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's what happened. Birthdays, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Let's move on to birthdays. Has anybody out here got a birthday? There we go, back there. Wayne, yeah. Anybody else? Huh? Great. Two birthdays. Any more? Okay. How about anniversaries? Has anybody got an anniversary? No anniversaries. Okay. Our praise songs this morning. Oh, wait a minute. Pastor's got a couple of announcements she'd like to make.
I do, but I just want to welcome a friend that just walked in. Nancy Bitterling is a retired pastor, and her husband, Kurt. And welcome to our service. What a joy to see you. Pressure's on. Pressure's on. All right. The other thing I have is Hugh Sefton passed away this last week. Today they have viewing from 2 to 8 at Marlette Funeral Home. A lot of you do not know who Hugh is. Margaret is going to be transferring her membership along with some of the rest of you as I get that membership. I'm still working on who is actually going to join us, so I do it all at once. Friends of Darlene's. And I just want to take a moment of silence, but also I want to invite you to go to the viewing. The funeral will be at 11 o'clock tomorrow at Marlette Funeral Home. Margaret is just beginning to know very few of us in the church. And it would be nice if she was supported by her church. This is her church. She says she is going to be coming more. And we just need to recognize that she is one of us. And so I would invite you to either the viewing or the funeral. And they're having a lunch here tomorrow. Even come to the lunch. Just let her know that you are thinking and praying for her. And I would like to take a moment of silence right now. Let us pray. Lord God, you've called one of your own home. We give you Margaret Sefton today and her family. As they go through this journey of loss, may you bring them peace and comfort. Wrap your arms around them and hold them in the palm of your hand. And as a church body, may we support them, and especially Margaret. And may we show our love. May we show our grief with her, that she will not walk this path alone, but that she knows she is in the body of Christ and we are here for her. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Also, from the bishop, I have gotten a letter. I am going to read some of that to you. In February of 2019, our general conference will be coming together to talk once again on the homosexuality issues that are at hand. And there are listening sessions that are happening around, I believe, October 9th at Lake Orion at 7 p.m. is the closest to us. I would like to take a group to hear what the discussions are and sharing our sessions on a way forward. What is going to happen in the United Methodist Church? We don't know how that vote is going to come out. You may not know much about the situation. This is a good time that we can gather. I'm not going to take up time at church, but if you want to speak to me before, but I encourage all of us to go to Lake Orion October 9th at 7 p.m. And here's a few words from our bishop. First of all, I want to express gratitude to you all for my time away this summer. Thank you for your support and patience. Thanks to my wonderful executive assistant, Deanna Nelson, for keeping my work organized when I'm away, and my clergy assistant, Reverend John Boley. Julie and I traveled to Germany for our wedding reception for their daughter, Beth. And so he has come back and is glad that we, as a conference, have supported him in his time away. He is reading in 2 Corinthians. In the 4th chapter, Paul writes, "We do not lose heart." In between, we are given some clues as to why he might be repeating the phrase, "Yes, God's light shines in our hearts, but we have this treasure in clay jars." Or in Eugene Peterson's In the Message, "The unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. In those lives we are afflicted, though not crushed, perplexed, though not despairing, persecuted, though not forsaken, struck down, though not destroyed." We can probably all relate to Paul's words, at least sometimes. And there are reasons to lose heart. 50 years since the death of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., racism still inhibits the American dream. Inequality has grown while civility has diminished. deep divisions within our country cloud a vision of the common good. Too many places in the world are at war. Too many children go to bed hungry. Too many people are imprisoned by addiction. Communities and families continue to overcome natural disasters. And here I would like to thank so many of you who have worked to help others. I am particularly mindful of the terrible flooding this summer in the Keweenaw Peninsula in the UP. For too many people, the message of God's love in Jesus Christ is difficult to hear because the church has not reflected that love, but rather been a place that wounds instead of heals. So members of the Michigan delegation to General Conference will be joining me at each location to listen and help respond to questions and concerns. You can read the rest of this document, but I want you to know, as United Methodists, we need to come together, for we are one body with one Lord, and we need to reconcile our differences, our inequality, and make everyone equal with one another. So please join me on October 9th at Lake Orion so that we can discuss and hear these issues. Let us now worship our Lord.
Morning, our page 2176, Make Me a Servant, and 2270, He Has Made Me Glad. Please rise for the singing of this. Good on that. Okay, our responsive reading this morning. The congregation will read the bold. Jesus said, Let the children come to me, and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.
Jesus said, whoever welcomes in my name, one of these children welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me, welcomes not only me, but also the one who sent me.
Come, let us worship the Father who reminds us of our responsibility to welcome the children with enthusiasm, with respect, and with open arms of the heart. Please remain standing for our hymn number 432, Jesu, Jesu.
You may be seated, and I invite with open hearts our children for our children's message. Good morning. How are all of you? You can come up here, Mia. There's room. We'll make room for you. There you go. Hi, guys. Come on up and have a seat. Hi, Mason Claire. How are you? Dad's right there. You're going to be a little shy this morning. You may want to come a little closer, Claire. I'm going to read a book. Have you ever read this book? I'm going to read The Rainbow Fish this morning. How does that fish look? Is it kind of sparkly? You remember this book. You've read this book before, have you? Well, let me read this to all the rest of you. You heard it in your class. Well, now we get to hear it in church. That's exciting. A long way out in the deep blue sea, there lived a fish. Not just an ordinary fish, but the most beautiful fish in the entire ocean. His scales were every shade of blue and green and purple, with sparkling silver scales all around him. See his scales? Aren't they sparkling? Uh-huh. The other fish were amazed at his beauty. They called him the rainbow fish. "Come on, rainbow fish," they would call. "Come and play with us." The rainbow fish would just glide past, proud and silent, letting his scales shimmer. He just continued on. He didn't play with the other fish. He just moved on. One day, a little blue fish followed after him. "Rainbow fish," he called, "wait for me. Please give me one of your shiny scales. They are so wonderful, and you have so many." See all those scales that he's got that are shiny? "You want me to give you one of my special scales? Who do you think you are?" cried the rainbow fish. "Get away from me." Shocked, the little blue fish swam away. He was so upset he told all his friends what had happened. From then on, no one would have anything to do with the rainbow fish. They turned away as he swam by. See that? He's all by himself, wasn't he? Did you see? There you go. Okay. What good were the dazzling, shimmering scales with no one to admire them? Now he was the loneliest fish in the entire ocean. One day, he poured out his troubles to the starfish. "I really am beautiful. Why doesn't anybody like me?" "I can't answer that for you," said the starfish. "But if you go beyond the coral reef to a deep cave, you will find a wise octopus. Maybe she can help you." So here's the starfish. He's talking to the starfish. I think she's okay, Mark. Really. The rainbow fish found the cave. It was very dark inside, and he couldn't see anything. Then suddenly, two eyes caught him in their glare, and the octopus emerged from the darkness. Can you see the octopus there? You see the eyes? Yeah, see that? It's a dark cave. "I've been waiting for you," said the octopus with a deep voice. "The waves have told me your story. This is my advice. Give a glittering scale to each of the other fish. You will no longer be the most beautiful fish in the sea, but you will discover how to be happy." That's the advice that the octopus gives the starfish. Okay? "I can't," the rainbow fish started to say, but the octopus had already disappeared into a dark cloud of ink. "Give away my scales? My beautiful, shining scales? Never. How could I ever be happy without them?" That's what he's thinking. That's what he says. Okay. Suddenly, he felt the light touch of a fin. The little blue fish was back. "Rainbow fish, please don't be angry. I just want one little scale." The rainbow fish wavered. Only one very, very small shimmering scale, he thought. Well, maybe I wouldn't miss just one. Right? Carefully, the rainbow fish pulled out the smallest scale and gave it to the little fish. "Thank you. Thank you very much," the little blue fish bubbled playfully as he tucked the shiny scale in among his blue ones. A rather peculiar feeling came over Rainbow Fish. For a long time, he watched the little blue fish swim back and forth with his new scale glittering in the water. See? The little blue fish whizzed through the ocean with his scale flashing. So it didn't take long before the rainbow fish was surrounded by the other fish. Everyone wanted a glittering scale. The rainbow fish shared his scales left and right, and the more he gave away, the more delighted he became. And when the water around him filled with glittering scales, he at last felt at home with the other fish. You see, all of them have a glittering scale now. He still has some, doesn't he? Finally, the rainbow fish had only one shining scale left. His most prized possession had been given away, yet he was very happy. Come on, rainbow fish, they called. Come and play with us. Here I come, said the rainbow fish, and happy as a splash, he swam off to join his friends. You see that? He joined his friends. So, what do you think the story really meant? Gave away his fins and he was happy. What do you think that means? What do you think? Excuse me, started to cough. When you share, you feel better. That's exactly it. That's what he did. He shared. But before, he was kind of stingy and selfish, wasn't he? He only thought about himself. He thought he was beautiful, a little prideful. But sometimes when we share ourselves and when we share other things with our friends, with other people, they are our friends, right? And we become much happier. So today we're going to talk about in our scripture, who's the greatest? And you're going to get a children's bulletin here in just a minute. I want you to think about what you can do either in school, at home, to be really happy. Will you try to be better than anyone else or greater than anyone else? Or will you be like rainbow fish and finally share what he has that he and everyone else is happy? I want you to think about that, okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you for all of your children of all ages, that we may be like the rainbow fish, not at first, not selfish, but that we can share our lives with others and share what we have with others, especially your love, that others may be our friends, others may be helped, others may know you because of us. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. All right. For those of you that are old enough to be in school, you get to go back to your seats. Others that are younger can go to the nursery, all right? So here's your bulletins. There you go. You want one, Mallory? Here, guys. There you go. All right, boys. Mason? All right.
I hear the choir did a real nice job last Sunday without me. Many of you know I had the opportunity to do a Rhodes Scholar tour with my sister. It's what used to be Elder Hostel. So on your coach, you besides the tour guide, you have a lecturer telling you all sorts of neat things about the place you're visiting. We were visiting the part of Britain called Wales. It's a part of Britain that the English took over in the 1300s, but they're still a pretty independent people even today. The first thing the tour guide told us about Wales is there were 3 million people, Welsh people, living there, and there were 10 million sheep. So we saw sheep wherever we went. So to honor that, we're singing a song, Feed My Lambs, which are baby sheep. So our anthem for today is Feed My Lambs.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that is the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, not sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. May God add his blessings upon the word reading of his word. Amen.
This next song is a new one. It's out of the faith we sing, and it's number 2092 and on the screen, Like a Child. Let's hear it one time. We want to play it through one time, and then if you'll stand as able. May be seated. As we come before our Lord God, we come as children of all ages, as we remember that Jesus welcomes all of us as a child. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, the beginning of our service, you heard our prayer concerns and joys that are in our hearts. We lift them to you and those that are unnamed. And we ask, Lord, for healing, for discernment, for guidance, for peace and comfort, for your people to have a greater understanding and knowledge of you, that they will accept you as Lord and Savior, and that we can come before you like a child. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to guide and lead us, that we become a healthy and effective church in our ministries, in our lives, with one another. We pray, Lord, for those who have lost their lives and now begin eternity with you. And as those that are left behind mourn, we ask, Lord, that you be with them and hold them in the palm of your hand. As each one of us come closer to you, we pray, Lord, that we will be a servant, not just a pew sitter, but that we will be here to serve you, to serve one another, to give you honor and glory. And it is this we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We also want to remember those who are less fortunate than us, especially those that have been in the Carolinas. Last week, I announced that we will take up a collection today. If you have a collection, it should be marked for UMCOR. You can bring it into the office this week or even again next Sunday, as we need to help those who have lost so much, and we are so blessed. And so now we turn to our scripture reading this morning out of the gospel reading of Mark. It's chapter 9, verse 30 to 37. Want to hear these words. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" They kept quiet because on the way they argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. If you remember, last week we were talking about Peter, who Jesus asked his disciples and Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Messiah." And so now they're traveling on, and he doesn't want anybody to know where they are because he just wants to speak to the disciples alone. Because when a crowd comes, he doesn't have that teaching time. It's a time that he heals and he listens and he's with God's people. And this time he just wanted to take the time to teach the 12 disciples. So in that time of teaching, he wonders what they were arguing about on the road. And he's also telling them for the second time in this scripture, in this chapter of Mark, "I will be killed and I will rise again." But all they seem to be thinking about is what they were arguing on the road. Who's going to be the greatest? Because, see, they were still seeing Jesus, the Messiah. They said he was the Messiah. But as one who would be the Savior of their world, but in a different way. He would be that king that would fight for them, and they would be the greatest. But then alongside of that, the disciples, which one of them would be the greatest in his eyes, and who would sit on the right, and who would sit on the left, and who would be the one that was the best. Well, you heard me in the rainbow fish story this morning. This one little fish, which had beautiful scales, thought he was the greatest of them all. He shimmered. He had beautiful scales, all different colors. And he was very proud of it, but he also was very selfish. Are not in this passage the disciples being selfish too? All they can think about is themselves. Will he pick me? Will I be the best? Can I do this? Can I do that? Have any of us ever done that? Yeah? Guilty? You know, I think of, because the funeral's coming up and I've been working on the funeral, you know, I always dismiss the family first. And I always try to go last. And that's not to brag. That's to say I always believe that those who are visiting should have that place before me. But I know it many times. In fact, I was at Camp Lake Louise this week, and they would dismiss us for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, you know, oh, we're closest to the salad bar. I can go first, right? Who's going to be first? Right? In almost any dinner, who's going to be first? Our potlucks. Are you going to hurry downstairs so you can be first? Right? But Jesus says here, the first should be last. And servant of all. See, he wanted his disciples to understand that they were those 12 that he chose first, but they needed to be the last ones, that they were to serve others. It's not about serving themselves. It's not about me. Let's say that together. It's not about me. But how many of us want to make it about us? We think we are first in life. In whatever situation it comes. But Jesus wanted to point out something here. And he brought a child who is very innocent. And he brings that child. And he said, anyone who welcomes this child welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. This morning we had a story in our Sunday school about a four-year-old girl. You know how we love to jump, especially jumping on the bed? You relate? Kids, you can relate to this. You like jumping on the bed? Yeah, absolutely. And so this four-year-old girl wanted to jump into Daddy's arms, and she kept telling Daddy, go a little bit farther back. Go a little bit farther back, Daddy. And she's jumping on the bed getting ready. And his arms are open. And this four-year-old girl trusts that Dad's going to catch her. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Oh, we love jumping on the bed, don't we? Let's jump on the bed. Do not go home and jump on the bed. Just want you to know that, kids. Not unless you have permission from your parents and your daddy's waiting there or your mama's waiting there to catch you. But the girl was so excited. She trusted God. She also trusted her father, her parent father, that he would catch her. Out of the mouths of babes, sometimes we say, but also we should come to Jesus as a child, trusting him for everything in life. As innocent as you children are, and I love you, it is great to have you in worship. We welcome you in worship. We want you to be here. We welcome you because you are the church. You are the church. And your innocence is what we as adults should become. And so, you know, children don't seem to have the racism that we do. Have you ever noticed that? You notice that? They're just so innocent. We lived in California, and my 13-year-old daughter, when we moved to Indiana, came home from the first day of school, and she said, Mom, where is everybody? And I went, what do you mean, where is everybody? Everybody was white. We came from California. Most of her friends weren't white. We were the minority. See, they don't see a difference. Children are so much more innocent than what we are, because when we grow older, we become more defensive, we become more selfish, we become more prideful, because it's all about me. Right? Am I being honest here? Who is the greatest? God. Absolutely. The greatest person in our earth is God, with His Son, Jesus Christ, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us now here on earth that can help lead us and show us the way. Because He didn't just say who is going to be first should be last. They also said, and servant of all. It's not about us. When we love someone, we are to serve others. We are to help others. When we talk about the Carolinas with all the rain, we need to help those people. I cannot imagine in my brain, in my mind, having 4-6 feet of water. Can you? I can't really fathom that. I can see pictures. I can't fathom living in that. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We are to serve others. And a lot of times I will hear, well, there's people right here that need our help. You're absolutely right. And so we're going to serve them too. Because remember what I've said over the last few months that I've been here? We are going to get outside of the walls. Amen? I met with Chief Brett Lester, who has also got such a passionate heart for the rescue mission. And I met with him and Suzanne Hickson this week to say, how can we as a church, how can we as a community help you in the rescue mission that is here in town? They will be opening their doors soon. And I'm not sure how much information I should give, so I'm just going to kind of not give it all, because next week it's coming out in finale form. And so I'm not going to say that except to say they need volunteers. Now we can say, I don't know if I want to be around that kind of person. And what would a child say? Child would say yes immediately, wouldn't they? But we may be hesitant because it's really kind of like a homeless shelter for men. Oh, do I want to be around that? Should we judge that? If we're truly wanting to be first, then we should be last. We should be servant of all. Then we, as a community, as a body of Christ, need to step outside of the church walls, because is it about us? No, it's not about us. It's about our community and who has a need. They're going to be looking for people to cook meals. How many of you here can cook? Yeah, you know, no one's going to raise their hand, right? They're wanting somebody to come in like once a week and cook like 7 meals and freeze them so that they can pull them out. If you can do that, let me know. They're wanting people to help with a Bible study or help just get to know some of these people that are there. Do you make friends? How many of us can make friends? Come on, let's be honest. Can we make friends? Yes. You can be that servant. Because it's not about us. The first shall be what? Last. When we do for others, Jesus Christ is up there going, woohoo! Hallelujah. They got the message. They understood, because that is what it's about. Remember our mission statement? We are to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Can we do that by just sitting in the pew on Sunday morning? No, we can't. We have to go outside of our walls, and it takes all of us. It takes all of us to build others up, to encourage others, to let them know there is a God, And just like on Wednesday morning at 7:30 at the elementary, 7:45, if I heard right, at the high school, we can go to the polls and we can pray for our children. Can you do that? Because see, we're a servant and we need to be outside of this building and we need to be there for our children, because even in scripture this morning, Jesus says, let us welcome the children. And whoever welcomes the children welcomes me. We should all be at that poll. And believe me, I do not like to get up in the morning. My husband can attest to that. 7:30 in the morning. I'm going to be there at 7:30 in the morning. Hopefully 7:25. So that we can pray, because we need to pray for people, but especially our children, because because God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes our children in to the life of the church and the community and eternal life. So I want to ask you this morning. Is it all about you? Do you want to be the first? Are you ready to be the last? Will you be a servant of Jesus Christ? Because what I hear with my colleagues is, it's not about being members of the church. It's about being disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, we can't do that if we just sit here on Sunday morning and come back the next Sunday and we feel great. Then we're kind of like that rainbow fish. Look at me. And I know it's tough for everyone. I know that not everyone can do everything. But I believe that God is nudging you right now in the pews of who can do what and how you can serve and how you can love our children. Amen. How we can be Christ's hands and feet to the world, to our community. And this isn't going to be the first. This is what you're going to hear from me. This is why I was called to this church, is what I believe, is that we are going to be part of the community and do mission work. Amen. Yes, that's worth a clap. It is worth a clap. Because God has called us. May we respond. Let us pray. God, you call us to be your servant. You call us not to be first, but last. You call us that it not be about us, but about you. Guide and lead us, help us, change our hearts, and make us your servants, Lord, that we will enter the gates with thanksgiving in our heart. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Would our ushers come forward for our morning offering? Lord God, we come before you with all of our blessings that you have provided, giving them to use, to further the kingdom here on earth. Lord, use us and fill us, that these gifts may be honored and glorified in your name, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Remain standing for our closing song, Together We Serve. Together we serve. It is not one alone, but all together as a body of Christ. So go with his grace and his love and his peace and serve one another. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.